to Sotong Sessions. You're on with Candace,
Kelia,
and Jez
for another virtual episode on things life, love, and legacy. Ladies, always good to see y'all.
Yes.
Back in the game. I'm going to get right into it because I got a story I want to tell y'all.
Okay.
I got a story. I want to hear. Here you go. Because I need some feedback. So I had this situation, right? I'm at work. I'm a director. And I designed a curriculum for some incoming students. And there's a meeting with me, my boss, and then my coworker, who happened to be a white male. My boss is a female as well. And so we had to discuss a program that I designed and how it was going to be implemented. Mm-hmm. And in that meeting, I began to explain the program. I was interrupted by my boss, who asked the white guy to tell her about the program as well. And then he told her what he thought he knew, gave recommendations on how that program should be implemented. And then that was the end of the meeting. It was just like, okay, let's do that. We'll talk more about this later. At the moment, though, like, I was so stunned. I was just kind of like, okay, like, I didn't know what to say. And then after the meeting, insult, injury, he comes up to me. He's like, yeah, so can you explain the program to me so I can tell her, like, more effective strategies for her to implement it? Right. And, I mean, you know, we're overseas. This is in Korea. So I was like, okay, like, come to my desk. Like, let's talk about it, right? And I just kind of went along with it. But now, like, after the fact, every time I think about it, I'm like, yo, I think that was not okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. And I didn't even have words for, like, the way that it made me feel. I'm just still stunned. So my question is, have you been in situations like this? Like, have you had a situation like that happen to you?
How many?
It sounds really small, but, like, it does something to you. And I think we should get into that today. Delia, how about you? You had a situation like this?
Yeah, I've had situations where people say, like, oh, you talk really well. Like, your speech is really, you know, really nice for, you know, for a young Black woman. Like, you enunciate so well.
You're so articulate.
Right.
And I'm like, So well spoken.
I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't know what you thought I was going to sound like. Yeah. I don't know what you expected when I walked in the room.
Yeah.
You wanted me to speak. This was for an audition. And so it was like, you wanted me to speak more Black. Like, I don't know what more Black sounds like to you. Mm-hmm. This is me. I'm Black and this is how I sound. So this is what it is. So yeah. And I think in the same way, Candace, like, at first I didn't really know, like, what to do. Like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm in the middle of an audition. So you're trying to put your best foot forward. You're trying to show them that you can be this character that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. But it felt different. And it was kind of like, okay, I don't know what y'all want, but I'm not going to try to be or try to put on some kind of, like, Black girl accent that you think I should have. And mm-hmm. so I just ended up doing what I did. And then I left and I didn't get the part, but I also wasn't upset with that.
Jazz, how about you? You got an example?
How long we got for this episode?
We'll make an exception.
We could go on and on all day. I mean, I have so many stories like that. One that comes to mind that happened a little recently. Me and my husband was out furniture shopping. We went to the furniture store and we had, like, been moving stuff in our place all day, you know, like, we're just kind of dressed like whatever, but we're coming to, like, shop for real to get some stuff. So we walk in the store and we're like, okay, it's a huge warehouse. They have stuff everywhere. So we're like, okay, let's start here, go around. So this salesman comes up, a white male, and he's just kind of like, oh, hey, like, not even making eye contact, just like, oh, hey, my name's so-and-so. If y'all need me, I'll be over here. And we're like, great customer service. So then you see him go across the warehouse and he's talking with other white customers and he's just all in their face, like, putting on a show, basically, like, this whole sales pitch and everything, and, like, running around the store serving them. And so we're just watching, we're like, okay, So we go, we're like shopping around and we see another salesperson who looked like the manager, turns out it was. So we go and we say, hey, you know what, can we work with you? And he's like, yeah, I'd be happy to help you guys. So we're going around and he's putting sold tags on everything that we're buying. We're like, you know, buying stuff for our place. And so the original salesman walks up and he's like, oh, I'll take that. They were my customers. And my husband was like, no, we'd rather work with him. And mm-hmm. so he was like, oh. And I'm like, this dude came in and straight up, like, sized us up, decided we were this young black couple that ain't in the store about to buy nothing, whatever. And he just dismissed us on site. And it's like, we ended up making a large purchase and the manager guy got all the commission off of that and the other guy mm-hmm. missed out. So it's like, you know, things like this happen on a daily basis. Like, we all have stories. And like Candace said, it's like, these things happen and it's like, in the moment, you're trying to process it, like, while it's happening real time. And it's like, you can't even sort out how you feel, sort out what's happening, sort out your response. Like, it's so overwhelming in the moment. But that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to break down microaggressions.
Talk about it.
Say it together. Microaggression. That's what it's called. I don't think at the time that I knew that. I didn't know the word for it. And I didn't know that's what it was. Like, mm-hmm. And then even if you do know, what do you say? Aha! Microaggression. You know, like, what do you do?
Gotcha.
Do you shout it out like straight?
I know what you're doing. You know?
It's a thing, I think, for people of color experience it a lot. Women experience it a lot. Women of color experience it a lot. And I think our last two major movements are coalescing around this point. The Me Too movement, it starts with these little microaggressions, you know, and then they become bigger things. And when you finally do realize it's time to speak out, people are like, well, why didn't you say anything? And
right.
What do you say about the white guy who took all of the credit for a project that you designed, especially when the society or the system around it also supports that narrative?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it? How can we define it, Jess? Like, how do we know when we're being microaggressed?
I'm going to read the definition proper for y'all, okay? Listen to this.
Educate. Let's do this.
A microaggression is a comment or action that subtly and often unconsciously or unintentionally expresses a prejudiced attitude toward a member of a marginalized group. Mm. That was a handful of words, but we're going to break it down throughout this whole episode. So microaggressions fit within the fabric of racism. Like, people think that racism is this big, huge thing, but it plays out in everyday microaggressions. Mm-hmm. And I would even argue that microaggressions are just as upsetting, if not more upsetting, than blatant racism, because it's like, it's very, I don't know, it's very like sneaky and mm-hmm. you know, it just gets in there and it gets under your skin. And after experiencing it for so many times and not having the language to put to it, not being able to express, hey, this is wrong. Hey, did you know when you said that, that was actually racist. That was actually mm-hmm. wrong. That was actually prejudice, you know, like, and having to defend yourself and be on guard day in and day out at work, at the grocery store, at the furniture store, like literally everywhere you go, it's exhausting.
Yeah. I think so. So now with even that kind of definition, like all of the examples start flooding through my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember another time and another thing and another thing. It's very small.
Yeah.
That adds up.
Like you said, it adds up. It just builds on itself. So the first time you're kind of like, okay, and you keep it moving. Maybe you try to let it, you know, wash off. Like, you just kind of go about your business, but then it happens again. And then, like you said, you don't even really, you may not even realize it because it's been happening all your life. So then you think back to, I mean, like for me, I think back to high school. I think back to middle school. I think back to college. Like, I just think back on all these little moments and then how they kind of play with your identity a little bit and how you start to perceive yourself because you're constantly just getting all this stuff mm-hmm. coming from anywhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's some other examples? Or I think Jazz had like a list of things that like, here's how you know if you've been Is microaggressed the word? Can I call it that?
Not sure. I'm gonna call it that. When you say it.
If y'all know what it is, leave it in the comment.
We're gonna call it that. If you've been microaggressed.
Yeah. I think another one, kind of not opposite, but in a different way than like at a store, is being followed around the store.
That just
happened to me a couple of days ago. I was in Ulta and I was walking around just kind of looking at stuff, and there was just this guy that I could tell was just on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And a couple of times I turned back like, can I help you? Like, do you need me to assist you in some way? Mm-hmm. Like, what is, you know, and he kept like shadowing me as I was walking around the store. Mm-hmm. And that's happened so many times where you walk in and immediately they see you, they perceive what they want to perceive. And they're like, we have to be vigilant about this person. For mm-hmm. what? Mm-hmm. What about me seems like a threat just because I have brown skin? That's it. Mm-hmm. That's prejudice.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is like, they're so small that if you're not looking for it, you might not see it. If you've never experienced it before, you're not going to know what it is. So mm-hmm. as a person of color, you're seeing it, feeling it, experiencing it every day. But then like, trying to explain how it's happening to you to a white person, for example, they're not gonna have a grid for what you mean, or they'll be dismissive and say like, oh no, that's not what they meant. Oh no, that didn't really happen. I think you're exaggerating.
Right.
No,
that's not true. Job. He was just trying to help you.
Mm-hmm. So this is happening all a day, watching other people walk past. Yeah, totally that.
Candace, what were some other ideas that you said were coming up?
Well, because, like, I got a job, like, my first job in college at a call center. And, well, it was a small group of us. There were, like, six of us that were applying for this job, and three of us got it. So when I got it, I asked the guy who was hiring. I said, well, like, how did I get the job? Like, why did you choose me? Hmm. And he said, I just thought that you were very articulate for a Black girl. And then when I got there, I was the only Black employee. So at the time I was like, oh, I think he needed a Black employee and I spoke good, you know, like, I don't know. But then I didn't know what to say. So I was like, oh, thanks.
Right.
I was so stunned and then I benefited from it. So unfortunately, and shamefully, I guess I'll have to admit that like, that it kind of taught me how to, play into microaggression, you know, like mm-hmm. I know if I go into like Saks or if I want something out of Nordstrom, I dress nicer that day. Because mm. I know like, you know, like I wear that same perfume I've been wearing for 20 years. They only sell it at Nordstrom. I got to go to Nordstrom. Let me make sure that I look good. I know when I go to the bank, mm-hmm. If I need to set up like stuff at the bank.
Yeah.
I got on red lipstick and a leopard print dress and nice, I'm not playing around. Like,
yeah.
And bringing this up, like, it sounds like a lot of little things, but it dictates to a person how they need to live their life in order to be treated like everybody else.
Yeah.
Just to be treated on the same level playing.
Equally. Yeah.
Which is and ridiculous.
It chips away at you little by little. And it's like, the point of a microaggression is to make you feel less than and to make you feel singled out and to like, other you, you know, like it's not okay. And for me, like a lot of other phrases that I've received over the years is like,
what's another one?
There's so many. It's like, oh, your eye shape, your eyes are so small, they're so slanty. Are you mixed? Where are your parents from? What's your background? Are you? And it's like,
where are you really from, though? Like, oh, but where are you
Why can't Black women just be that? Like, why can't Black women have beautiful features as well? Why do our features have to, like, come from some exotic place in order to be accepted as beautiful? Like, both my parents are Black. I'm fully Black. And, like, is that okay? Can I have the shape of eyes that I have and still be beautiful as a Black woman? Like, there are so many things, and it's just, it really is exhausting having to defend your existence your whole life.
I have to admit again, like, I think like you guys are more developed than I am, I think, because at least you take that stance like, okay, I have to stand here and defend this or speak out against this or combat that in some way, whereas I've felt the need to just acquiesce. Like, I didn't know that in college, I didn't know that people thought that I was biracial until I was literally on my graduation day. My parents showed up and they were like, that's your dad? And I was like, yeah, that's my dad. Like, I look just like my dad. And I was like, but that's your mom. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, I thought you were mixed. And I was like, no, I'm black. My parents are black. My dad is blacker. Like, I come from this black family. But then I realized, like, all along, it started to explain, like, why I was treated a certain way, because they thought I was biracial the whole time. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think we have moments. At least for me, I know I have moments where I do kind of feed into it a little bit, like you said.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I want to kind of, not fight back, but I kind of want to, like, antagonize a little bit, or I like confrontation, so I kind of like to... What do you mean? What are you trying to say?
See?
Are you following me? Or are you, you know, like, sometimes I just like to kind of do that because I just feel like I'm in a confronting mood. And then there are other times.
At least you have that in you. That's what I'm saying.
But then there are times where I don't, and I just kind of, or like, I have learned to code switch, or I have learned to just kind of like let it become a part. Like you said, when you go into certain stores, there are times where I know if I go into that store right now, I know I'm not going to get the service that I need, that I want.
Yep.
So I'm not even going to go in there today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just wait till I look a little bit more put together, and then I'll go in there. Mm-hmm. I've done that too.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, if I make a phone call, my voice might not sound the same.
We all do that.
Phone calls.
None of us on this stream has ever just talk how we talk when we answer the phone. And I know for a fact. I think we might be doing it right now. I don't know. But
a friend of ours brought up this good conversation piece a couple years ago when we were all in Korea, and she was like, were you taught to code switch, or like explicitly, like, did someone explicitly sit you down and teach you that you need to code switch in order to be successful in America, or is it just something that you picked up?
Oh my gosh. But taught doesn't mean that somebody set you down. Like, you learn in various ways. If you didn't code switch and you got penalized for that, then you learned to code switch.
But there was a teaching. It just maybe wasn't.
There was a teaching.
Wasn't
overt. There was a moment. Oh my gosh, it's funny you bring this up. I feel like, yeah, now my whole life is coming into focus.
But these are the things that we do as people of color to adapt to the mainstream and to survive and to be successful. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Here's the why this is such a major deal, and why even if you add up all of the petty things and some people can still dismiss it, you know, here's why this matters, is that right now it's us saying we might talk a little bit differently in certain situations, or I might fix my hair before I go to Nordstrom's. That is an evolution from our great-grandfathers having to hold their head down when they walk down the street so that they wouldn't make eye contact with white people. That is the next level of our grandmothers having to allow things happen to them physically because they didn't have the authority to say anything about it. Mm-hmm. It was major aggression before it became microaggression. And even then, they were calling it petty. Why mm-hmm. do you care that you have to say yes, sir, no, sir?
Right.
Why do you care? That's not a big deal that you have to cross the street when a white woman is walking. It's not Why a big deal that there's that? No black people on the jury when you stand in front of trial.
Exactly. Being called boy.
Being called boy.
Yes.
Back, yeah. Not that long ago.
Yep.
That's microaggression. That's not a big... And today we would be like deeply appalled. Like, mm-hmm. how dare you call this grown man boy? Like, what are you trying to say? Or son.
Yeah.
That's why it matters, because this 20 years from now, they should look back and see, like, we stopped taking it because it's not okay. It wasn't okay for them, and it's not okay for us. But I don't know if I got that. That's why I'm wrestling right now.
I think we're all so like, ooh, this topic, man. Like, it elicits a physiological response. Like, it just gets under your skin. It makes your heart pound. Like, it just, it's upsetting. And it's even more upsetting that it gets dismissed all the time and that we have to explain that it's happening.
Mm-hmm. All the time. Here's my question, Jez. Which part of it is huge, it's very 4D in its parts, but which part of it upsets you more? That it happens, that you have to explain that it happens, or that you have in some ways at some times adjusted to it happening and become part of it, I guess.
Is there an all of the above option? I mean, just, I'll say having to explain it, because if you see something wrong going on, mm-hmm. if you're a bystander, like, you have a responsibility, an obligation to get involved and to correct it, right? If you see somebody being mistreated. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we have to explain, hey, what's happening right now? What's being said to me right now is it's wrong. It's not okay. Mm-hmm. Why do we even have to do that?
Right.
So there needs to be like this awareness and education, like, hey, microaggressions are real and they can be very damaging and they lead to like, it's harm. Like people can lose it. Like they're so like, it can get out of hand very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize that, you know? Mm-hmm.
How about you? Which part of this whole situation it feels the most upsetting?
I think I'd have to agree with Jazz, like the having to explain, because then it feels like in a lot of ways you have to defend yourself from something that should be very basic. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a human being, I'm a person. Mm-hmm. So like I shouldn't have to explain why your actions or your words right now are offensive or inappropriate. Like we should just know that's not okay. Mm-hmm. So I think the having to explain it or defend it is probably my biggest kind of issue with it. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if it was flipped, it wouldn't be a question.
Right.
You know, like if it was flipped, it'd be like, oh yeah, no, that's not okay. You shouldn't talk to us like that. You shouldn't talk to me like that. You mm-hmm. know, the other way around, it wouldn't be a question. Mm-hmm. So for us, for it being even a question for us is kind of what annoys me the most, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm most, annoyed by what I've become as a result of it. Mm-hmm. I think I'm most bothered by the fact that I have learned how to be small. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it on a daily basis. And now half of it, I mean, most of the time I'm cognizant, but half of it, I'm not even aware of it now. It's like that black man walking down the street and someone says, boy, and he automatically turns around, assuming that they're talking to him at the ripe old age of 68, you know? It's yeah. that. It is that one. And I'm like, I don't know how to, the only thing is I can be like Delia and just have my bouts of confrontationalism and be like, actually, sir, when you said that, that's microaggression and this is why, and you need to stop. First, I ain't got all that kind of time. I would never say another word. Like that would be all I said all day long, because we're always in these circles that are not around people who look like us all the time, you know? Like, I'm constantly, I'm microaggressed by people who look like me. I was in England, and this African lady insisted that my last name wasn't Smith because it can't be. She was just like, you changed your name to fit in, and that's not your real name, and she gave me a whole new name. Now, I understand what she was saying, but that, too, was microaggression. I am who I am.
Right.
Yeah. I've experienced it from a black male.
Black men do it.
I had a guy, I actually, in our complex that we're living in, I went to the leasing office because I got an email from them saying that I need to come pick up our pool bands and like our little key fob thing. So I was like, okay. So I go over there, pick it up. And he's like, oh, well, normally we don't give these out without both parties, both leaseholders signing for it. I said, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I'll send my husband over after work. No problem, he can sign it. He was like, all right. So he gave it to me, I left. He sends an email, dummy, not knowing that we have a joint email, like how I see every email that comes through there. You think you're sending an email to my husband? I saw it too. Mm-hmm. He goes to him, yeah, your wife came in to get the pool bands, whatever. I'm not sure if she'll remember to tell you, so I need to tell you that you need to come in and sign for this. Oh. Normally we don't do this, but I did it for you guys. So my husband was like, what? So he goes after work to get the pool van, and the manager guy is like, yeah, your wife was pretty upset when she came in here and found out that she had to sign for it and that both leaseholders were required to sign for it. And my husband's like, what? No, she wasn't. Like, she told me the story what happened. Like, she wasn't even mad. So it's just like, again, Black women get personified as angry all the time. And it's like, I wasn't even mad. Like, I told you I'd send them over and I did. Like, what's the big deal, you know? But it's like, you felt the need to send that email to remind him because you didn't know if I was
wifey.
Like, what?
Yeah, like, he know your character as a wife. Like, what you know about me? Like, what you know about what's going on in your walls? How do you know my memory? Like, what?
Bruh. But it's like,
he was a Black guy?
Yeah. It's exhausting. If I had a dollar for every microaggression every day that I ever encountered, I'd be rich. I'd be able to pay off my student loans.
would there be change left over is the question, because if student loans don't come cheap.
I'd just zero it out.
So this is why I listed the people who tend to suffer, because by and large, minorities, especially African-Americans, suffer. But man, like, women, and then that Black women in particular, that group, because even in my house, like, my dad will say something, and it's because he has this expectation of what a woman is, or where he wants a woman to be. And so there are all these little statements, you know, that cut, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think, I think any group is capable of placing these aggressions on another group, but it must be said that Black people, particularly Black women, get it by and large enough to pay Sally Mae back.
A whole lot.
We could cancel student loan debt.
Yeah,
if we were paid in microaggression. Yeah, sure. So then, what's the remedy? I think it's two part. So my question is, what can we do when we are in that situation? And I'll even say, what must we do? Because if we do nothing, then it keeps getting worse. And I know I'm guilty of that, which is probably why I experience it more often than I should. And then what should these other groups do as well?
We gotta call it out.
Yeah.
We gotta call it out. And it's like, it's exhausting to do that. And in the moment, I know for me, I'm a slow processor. So yeah, even as I'm in a situation, it's frustrating because I'm a slow processor, but I'm also like sarcastic and petty. So I'll think after the fact, like, oh, I should have said that. I had this good comeback. I didn't say it in the moment. But I mean, when it's happening, you have to at least acknowledge, like, if you get that, like, flutter in your spirit, that little tingling in your heart, and you know you feel off, it's a good place to start there. Hey, actually, what you're saying right now is making me feel uncomfortable. That's at least a start. And then once you know you feel uncomfortable and you've articulated that, you're able to kind of unravel that a little bit for the person and say, like, hey, as you're saying this, this is why it's offending me right now. And then hopefully in today's climate, people are a little more open to learning and hearing, as we've seen in recent weeks. I hope that continues. So maybe that could be a starting point.
This is why it's a good time that we're bringing it up now, because there is a willingness on behalf of people to listen and hear. Jazz, what else? Delia, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, like Jazzy was saying, it is exhausting at times to have to try to acknowledge it every time. Not saying that that needs to be done. So we're not saying, like, every time it happens, y'all, make sure you address it. That's not the takeaway. But I think that it does start with you kind of saying to yourself, okay, this is my line, maybe, or like, what are my boundaries? What are my lines? What am I willing to kind of sit with and not sit with? And then when those things happen, to let the people around you who are you know, bringing it to you, let them know what's going on. And then I think for people on the outside who are, you know, who maybe have given microaggressions to people, to just really think about your words. And if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, this, when you said this, I felt this, to not be so defensive, but to just really hear what they're trying to say and like really hear what they're telling you. You may not have intended it to mean that, and you may not, like, that might not have been your intention, but hear what they're saying and really take that in, like just pause for a second. Cause I think too, from their perspective, they're like, well, that's not what I meant. And no, I wasn't doing that. And I was just doing my job or whatever. Cause it's not always malicious, I don't think, but even if it's not, understanding the history behind it. Candace, like you kind of gave, you know, that history and why it's so important. So if that, if someone, you know, one of us comes to you and says something, just hear us out. Just listen. You know what I mean? Take that in and then try to identify ways that you can kind of change your speech in the future.
Here's how you know if you are a microaggressor.
That's the word. There it is.
Yeah. I know the person, but I don't know the... If you have made a statement, or if you're, if you intend, the thought in your head is to make a statement to a person about something related to their character, but you don't know nothing about them. If it's to make a statement about their behavior, but you don't know them, it's probably microaggression. If I want to say to you, don't forget to tell your husband about this when you go home, that assumes that you, you know something about my mental state, but you don't know me, so that's microaggression. If you want to make a comment to me about the way that I speak, but you don't know me, probably microaggression.
That's good.
Don't say stuff to people about their person that you don't know for fact. That's just good old common sense.
That's really good. Because I know if my brother and my sister comments about my memory, they know me.
So they know
my memory is crap.
Exactly.
So if they say evidence, it's a joke. It's just laughing. They know. You know what I mean?
That's
but if you don't know me, that's a problem.
That's why I don't like what he said to you, because it was almost intimate. Like, what, you've been spying on my house? You heard us arguing about me forgetting?
It's like, and it's more frustrating because that's the opposite. I'm the most responsible. I don't forget
important. He didn't realize he was talking to the most responsible one.
Type A all the way. Like, get out of here with that. Like, you, let me go down there. Right? I'll show you an angry black woman.
And I want everybody who's watching to note this this reaction, okay? Because that's how it makes us feel. You see how she feel right now and how demoralizing that is? That's what you do when you microaggress people. So just shut up. Just do your job.
When in doubt, don't say nothing.
Don't say nothing.
If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
You know what it is too? It's always followed by a chuckle. So if it's an inside joke about a person that you don't know, it's microaggression. Oh, you, well, don't forget to tell your husband when you get home. Shut up. You don't know me. I could tell my husband 60 times and he might not show up because he's the forgetful one. Did you ever consider that?
Like, goodness.
That right there. See, she feels microaggressed, guys. Don't do that.
Don't do it.
On the other side, what about on the other side? If it's happening to you, how do you get past that initial shock of numbness? Is there some sentences you think we should always have on the ready? Hey, wait, this makes me feel uncomfortable. That was a good one, actually.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Actually, I think that's probably the only one we need. That'll be a good one for a lot of stuff.
It starts the conversation. I think it's a really good starting place, Jess.
And hopefully if they have any heart whatsoever, they would say, okay, well, what is it that is making you feel uncomfortable? And that can kind of help you, you know?
You kind of advance. I think people will say, oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, oh, my bad. And then like, because that's fine too.
That's fine too.
And then just keep it moving. I'm cool with that as well.
But the point is, don't be afraid to articulate how you're feeling as a person of color. If you feel marginalized, don't be afraid to speak up and speak out about it, because people need to know that it's not okay.
Right. Because like, these assumptions can be harmful. Like, they might seem small, micro, but you can get shot because somebody thinks that you're looking in the window of a house and they want to follow you down the street because they think whatever they want to think about you. So a microaggression can get your life taken from you.
Yes.
So it's not a little thing.
It's not a little thing. It's not a little thing at all. Many have lost their lives because of this. And so it's a very big deal. Ooh, that's a sobering reality right there, Dee. Yeah. That's a sober reality. That's Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a lot of these.
It's all our brothers and sisters.
It's all of it. It is the small, overlooked cause, if not the definitive cause of Black Lives Matter right now. You felt some kind of way, and so you reacted, overreacted. Yo, I think the microaggression is going to be the micro movement to the movement. Just people just saying, hey, no, actually, that's not okay. And just making that a constant sentence. That's not okay. Okay. I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with it. Like, we just have to say it until it's embarrassing and uncomfortable, and then behavior changes.
Yeah. I don't think we say that enough as Black women. That's not okay.
That's true, because we take it. We wear and shoulder those burdens.
Yeah. It's not okay. We talked about strong Black woman last time. This mm-hmm. is how we fix it. This is a way, an everyday way that each of us can feel empowered to speak up.
Mm-hmm. It's not okay.
Not okay.
I'm not okay with that. Ooh, I think we shipped already.
Listen, we got to teach our kids. If we're not practicing this, we can't teach our kids to stand up for themselves in this way. So if we don't get it now, we better, you know.
Yeah. I think that's how we got Black men to stop crossing the street when white people were walking on it. Enough people had to say, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And now it's not even a part of our norm anymore, you know? But then this part, you know, the things that women are enduring, yeah, it's our job. I make that point only to say what we won't do for ourselves, we tend to do for others. Mm-hmm. And maybe you might feel uncomfortable in saying to your boss, hey, actually, that's not okay. But think about it. Like, if you start saying that, your daughter won't have to. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yep.
Yes.
Wow. Ooh. This became something.
Good. I know.
No, this was going to go. It did something.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you guys for always showing your love and your support by listening. Don't forget to join us every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for our live premiere of our episodes. Hit us up on our Instagram. Visit us at www.sotongsessions.com. Yeah. Check out the site. Leave comments. Do what you need to do. Ladies, until next time.
Until next time.